is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Probably nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. So we're all back together once again. We got a jam-packed show. We're, you know, playing with the structure of the show a little bit. We're going to try some new things, and hopefully it works, and we're going to continue the structure for possibly many more episodes. So obviously the first thing we're going to do is topical news stories of the week within sports, and there were two that really stood out to me and probably everyone within sports. The first one being the Albert Pujols rumored retirement that circulated, I think it was Monday evening. Albert Pujols' wife posted a message on Instagram, on her Instagram, regarding Albert, basically wishing him well and all this, that, and the other, and basically saying at the end that it might be the end of his career. If you guys don't know, Albert signed a 10-year deal with the Angels back in 2011, and this is the last year of that deal. He's in his early 40s. He's really starting to decline, and people are starting to think, okay, this could be it. Noah, I'll start with you. Do you think his wife basically kind of told us indirectly that this will be Albert's final season? Because in ways, he does kind of have to announce it because of how polarizing a figure he is in the game of baseball.
Definitely. I mean, he's 41 right now.
Yeah.
So how much more can he really? Yeah, I know. Dom, I saw that face. Like, it's true. That's crazy to think about. I thought he was like still in his late 30s, but to see that he's 41. So I think when I saw that, I think I saw it on Twitter when I first saw it, I was like, this is not completely shocking, you know, because he has been, like you said, Anthony, kind of on the way down, obviously, when you're towards the end of your career. And it's kind of sad for him because he's getting paid a ton of money. I'm not, you know, but he really, with the Angels, they were never able to put it together. And I don't think they'll be able to put it together this season. I don't think they have enough pitching, but I definitely think this is probably the end for Albert Pujols in baseball. And it'll be a sad kind of thing to see him away. And now the worry or the wonder is, does he get into the Hall of Fame? So.
All right, well, Sean, I'll go to you next. You know, obviously, does he get into the Hall of Fame? Do you think he'll be one of, like, possibly a unanimous slam dunk? And where do you rank him in terms of the all-time greats as a first baseman?
Okay, well, I definitely think he'll make the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a household name. Everybody knows Albert Pujols. He's done a lot to the game. I mean, this man hits tanks. He's amazing. Now, ranking him in the list of top first basemen, I'd probably put him top five. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think top five is reasonable?
I honestly do, for the stats he shows and for the all success he had with the Cardinals and a good portion of it with the Angels. I really do think he's top five. And I've been looking at his stats, of course, and 3,200 hits, over 3,200 as of right now. The home runs is the big one, 662. That's insane right there. I mean, the batting average, it happens as you get older. You're going to put that at risk. And right now he's only at 299 career average. So that's the one thing. But RBIs over 2,000 and runs are 1,800 plus. So I really think that Pujols was an unreal player, especially with the Cardinals, to where he is going to be top five consideration.
Yeah, I feel like his 10-year dominance in the first decade of the new millennium was just unreal. You know, brought them to a championship in 06, won back-to-back MVPs in 08, 09, and he was just the ultimate package going into his free agency. Obviously, you know, lo and behold, we learn now that you don't give guys 10-year deals at age 31, 32 anymore. It's just not how it works. It's now happening at age 22, 23, a.k.a. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s recent contract. But, you know, if it is his final season, you know, let's just hope it's a good one. Let's just hope that fans do get to see him and that, you know, he gets the well-deserved send-off that he truly deserves because he played the game right, did it clean, and was just a class act in doing it all the way through from the moment he stepped onto the scene in 2001 to possibly the end in 2021. And the next thing I want to talk about is this shocking Tiger Woods incident that happened, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was reported that Tiger Woods was in a single car accident. When this got reported, no one really knew how bad the car accident was. CBS then reported it, that it was pretty severe. There was video of the car rolling over down a mountain, and it looked almost like a fatality car crash if you were to look at the photos of it. He is very lucky. He's alive. He's doing well. He's had multiple operations on his legs. He fractured both his legs, but he was conscious at the scene when the crash did happen. And, you know, thankfully he's okay. But this kind of wonders, was he on anything? Because this isn't the first time he's had a single car crash before. This happened back in 08, 09, when that whole scandal was really just about to blow up with him. And also, is this the end? Is this the end? You know, he's had major back surgeries. Now he's got multiple leg surgeries that he's got to come back from. You know, is this in? And now is the inevitable record of catching Jack Nicklaus over? You know, Dom, I'll start with you on that. What do you think of this car crash? And is this the end of his career?
Yeah. First and foremost, prayers up to Tiger Woods. Glad he's, you know, at least doing all right compared to what could have been happening. And second, yeah, I really think that this could be the end. We really don't know what he was on. This, like you said, Ant, this isn't the first time. I wouldn't be surprised, but I think this is it. I think he's been a phenomenal. He's had a great career and everything like that. But yeah, I think this is going to be the end of the road for him. And it sucks that it's probably going to have to end this kind of way, but you know, decisions are made and poor ones can be, you know, crucial on how it ends someone's career or something like that.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks because, you know, I don't know. Cause no, I remember when we were obviously the three of us, when we were rooming together that sophomore year, the Masters was happening. And I think you were the one that told us, like, guys, Tiger might win the Masters. And so we all like had it on. And like, I remember I was watching in my room, witnessing him, like it was the ultimate comeback story. Him winning the Masters after everything he's been through, all the trials and tribulations after the fact, really finding himself, really getting back into somewhat of a decent shape to perform. And, you know, to do that was incredible. I would assume that would be your best memory of him.
I mean, I remember so many times. I remember the one playoff. It was around summertime, and I remember always being at my aunt's for barbecues and stuff like that, and it was awesome to watch Tiger on that those Sundays in the red, being ready to go, ready to win. But that's definitely the moment that I remember most, because I remember what I remember being really into it, really wanting him to win and really rooting for him. And I'll never forget that day. This person at school at Ryder, she called me and she was like, Noah, I need your help. I'm like, what? And she's like, I need you to come and get this bottle, this alcohol bottle out of my drawer. I was like, what? I'm like, I'm watching Tiger about to win the Masters and you're calling me to do this? She's like, yeah, I need your help. I was like, all right, I'll be cool. I'll be there. I went there, did it, and then went back and watched him win the Masters. So like, I'll never forget that. And one last thing, the sheriff on Yahoo, said there's no evidence of impairment, in the Tiger Woods crash. So, at least according to the LA County Sheriff, it looks good that he wasn't impaired during that crash. So just wanted to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sean, to wrap it up with you, if this is the last time we'll see Tiger, if we don't see Tiger again, where do you rank him in terms of excellence, in terms of all time greats, with Jordan, with Ali, you know, with Ruth, you know, is he in that category with those guys? Does he deserve to be in that echelon? Even everything that he's been through, both on and off the golf course?
To kind of go off the first thing that you said, I honestly don't think this will be the last we hear from him. I think you'll have one more like comeback story. I don't necessarily know if he'll win anything out of it, but even if he just gets back on the course at all, kind of like an Alex Smith kind of deal, it'll be a, you know, a great comeback story. And that would be great to see from him. And hopefully that can happen. And now to talk about if he's an all-time great, I mean, I'd love to say so, but I really just don't know. I don't even think he's the all-time great of golf, as you said. It's probably Jack Nicklaus, right?
Yeah, because he has the most major wins.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody loves Tiger. I love that one moment where he had that one long putt, and everybody's just sitting watching it happen, and like, oh, it's just sitting on the edge of the cup, and everyone's like, oh, and then it falls, and he's like, yeah, and he does like the whole arm swing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on, that was great. You gotta love Tiger, but yeah, he's had a lot of problems on or not on, but kind of on, but on and off of the course. So, yeah, I don't know if we can call him a GOAT again. I'd love to, but I just don't think it's realistic.
Hmm. Interesting take. Probably one of the first of few takes where someone says that he isn't, you know, in that all time great category. So that was good to hear. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got three more segments. We got our This Day in History, so that'll be a good one. We have our Game of the Week, which we're all going to talk about, specifically in terms of hockey, to give you kind of clue. And also our spotlight and kind of lock of the day, courtesy of Noah Gugliotta, otherwise known as Googs. He will give you the lock of the day. All that and more coming up on the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh, yeah. It's a great day. Woo.
Yes, it is. It is a great Saturday, even though it's kind of gloomy outside. That is okay, because it's not raining.
Yeah, the snow's melting a little bit, too, I think.
It really is over here.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God.
Time is right.
Let's hope like the snow kind of calms down. I'm kind of sick of this polar vortex.
Ooh, I like that term.
Because that's what we're in. We're in the midst of a polar vortex right now, according to our meteorologist.
Is that really true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why those last couple of weeks it was straight like snow, rain, sleet, snow, sleet. Like that's what it was.
Yeah.
But next segment it's gonna be This Day in History. So, you know, this segment is really going to focus on that. Whatever day it falls on, there'll be a kind of a certain topic we'll talk about regarding this specific day. So on February 28th, 1991, it was announced by the New York Yankees that first baseman Don Mattingly was named the 11th captain in New York Yankees history. Obviously, he was only captain for four seasons, as by 1995, he would hang up his cleats and retire from the game of baseball. And this was kind of sad. He only was captain for 4 years. This was right around when they were starting to really get it going, and unfortunately, by 1996, when he retired, the run began, and he wasn't a part of it. He wasn't able to get his, you know, World Series ring, but I believe this also foreshadowed to what was to come for him in the future. He is now a manager of the Miami Marlins, and now they're on the trajectory of becoming a playoff contender for years to come. Obviously, now the CEO being his predecessor of team captain, who was 12th, Derek Jeter. But I just think this was, I think it was coming for him. And I think he's, you know, he's happy where he is right now as the Miami Marlins manager. I feel like him and Jeter have a great relationship, and it's only up for him and that organization.
Yeah. Look, for Mattingly, I'm going to give a little bit of a hot take, a DeRosa's hot take for you, Anthony. If it wasn't for the injuries, you know, he had suffered, I think Don Mattingly would be a Hall of Fame first baseman. Incredible defense, great bat, always had a good contact swing, even had some sneaky power in there. So Mattingly was a stud, and yeah, it's a shame he couldn't be part of the great Yankees teams, really. But he was a workhorse, and the Marlins in a 60-game season, now being the manager there, shocked a lot of people. I said that, you know, they're going to be better than people expect as they're building up quickly and they have talent. But this year is going to be tough. 162, you got the hardest division with the Mets, the Braves, the Nats with Josh Bell now in there.
And obviously the Phillies are still, they can make some noise.
Phillies offensively can make noise. And so the Marlins, it was a good, experience. Not only that, making the playoffs, they beat the Cubs and they beat Yu Darvish late into that. So, but for Mattingly, I think a lot of people like him for an older manager. It's kind of rare to see in today's game, and a lot of sports is we're tending to go younger, but he is still lasting. And I think the organization and the players really respect him.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sean, I know obviously you're the Boston Red Sox fan. So in terms of your thoughts on Don Mattingly, just as a player, as a New York Yankee, like what do you have to say about him and like kind of what he did for the organization, during that time? Because when he was playing and during his peak, the team was really struggling. And that was when the Red Sox, even though they didn't win in 86, you guys were, hitting your stride. You guys made it to the World Series. You had a young, healthy Roger Clemens. So, do you have anything to say around during that time?
So honestly, I do not know a lot about Don Mattingly. I mean, besides knowing him in the show, MLB The Show, I'm playing with him. I played with him a bunch, but to be that guy that's like kind of carrying a struggling team, obviously it means a lot for the fans, because especially a very, proficient New York Yankees team that is so used to winning, especially around that time, but they were dominant for a little, they must not have been dominant for a short period of time, but then they were right back after or at it after that. It takes a lot. So, Don Mattingly, hats off to him. But like I said, I just don't know a lot about him. So,
No, yeah, I think you bring up a good point in terms of like the mentality you had to have to go out each and every day and still give 110%, even though you were playing on not the greatest team. I feel like that shows his character. I know probably why he's, such a great fit for this Marlins organization, because they were struggling a ton. And, usually, managers would probably, not care as much or really just not want to buy into the system. But he did. He believed in the young guys. And, they're really about to, seriously make some noise within this next decade. I know we talked about it a bunch, during the season last in 2020 when it was only 60 games, because they beat the Yankees a couple times and we weren't too happy about that. Remember, we watched that game at your house. We're just like, oh, my God, are they really going to beat us?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it's one of those things where he's with the Dodgers, there was a lot of criticism about him as a manager, and I think he wasn't able to rise above it. I don't think he was able to do enough for the Dodgers to put them in the best position. But what I like about him, what he's doing, he's really teaching and mentoring these younger players and doing a solid job of it. In a short season, you would think that young team would really struggle a lot. And they made the playoffs, like Dom said, beat the Cubs. But I just want to point out, I was looking at the Yankees championships. There, like you were talking about, Anthony, there was a big time drought there. From 70, last championship was 78. Don Mattingly started in 82 and then went till 95. And then 96 was the championship. So he just missed out on that. But I will say this. If you look at Yankees, even without a championship, he is one of the more popular Yankees still. Like, he was very well liked, loved in the locker room. Michael Kay talked about so many stories of how respected he was and how he really was great with the media and all that kind of stuff. One last thing I just want to say too, One thing that I have a big gripe with, and I know it's just something for me, a lot of franchises in all sports. I hate when they don't, especially for baseball and hockey, when they don't name a captain. To me, it's one of my biggest, I know Dom and Sean, it bothers me not to see a C on a player's uniform. And for baseball, it's different because you don't see that, but it is a huge symbolic thing, to see, and Jeter got plenty of time, but like you said, Anthony, Dom Mattingly only got what, 4 years of being the captain. So, and yeah, like injuries played a part in that. And, you know, what did he have? He had back issues or shoulder, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. He had major back issues. He had to change his swing. I remember he kind of had a toe tap and then he started bringing that kind of leg kick that kind of generated a little bit more power in his swing towards the later half of his career. But yeah, it's just injuries derailed him, unfortunately, because he probably would have stuck around till maybe around 97. So he probably would have been around for that first one, but then Tino Martinez wouldn't have gotten into the fold.
Exactly. And that's my only thing. That's he's a great player. I just, for me, like the Rangers, I think they need to pull the trigger on somebody, a young guy, whether it's Lafreniere or Panarin, which there's a big issue with that. But that's just my little gripe. I just wanted to point
out. So real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. If you guys were to name a captain for the Rangers, who would it be? Sean, I'll start with you.
That's a really rough. I don't know. I would say Panarin, but we all know what's going on with Panarin and Russia right now. So if I had to name a captain this second, like you told me, pick somebody on the roster, I'd probably give it to Kreider.
I don't think that's a bad choice.
Okay. Dom?
You know who I would go with? I was going to say Panarin too. I would actually go with Adam Fox with the way he's been – kind of leading the team this year, and defensively, offensively, guy's a beast. One of the better defensemen in the league. I just think he's a great guy, but I think Kreider would totally be a great pick too. So, but I'm going to go with Adam Fox on that one if it wasn't for Panarin.
Let me just say, these two, awesome picks. I love both. You take both, one that has been with the team forever and who has just done everything with this team. If you look back till since like 2012 or something crazy, he's just been so consistent. Well, anyways, and then Adam Fox, a new guy who is so good offensively, makes so many good plays defensively, and then has a great attitude and is great on the ice. I think those are great picks. I would have said Mika Zibanejad coming into the season. I'll be honest. But there's issues with how he's playing, and they're gonna have to sign him. You know, he's getting to that. And at that, at the point where if he's not playing the way we need him to, the way he played last year, are we really gonna make him that big guy? I don't know. So I think those are great names though that Sean and Dom just mentioned. But
For sure. Yeah, I'm glad I put you guys on the spot. Maybe we'll have to make that into like a mini segment real quick. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our game of the week. It's probably going to be a Ranger game. I'm not sure yet. You'll find out in the next segment after these underwriting announcements, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noel Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Goose.
It's difficult to do this because we're all not together.
Because we're all not together, and technology likes to delay everything. Yay! So,
COVID.
So this segment's going to be a fun one. It's going to be the game of the week. Obviously, the show airs and you're listening to it on a Sunday, and therefore we're gonna pick a game throughout the past week that we believe was the game of the week. And since Sean, Noah, and Dom, and kind of myself, I would say I'm an outsider, are New York Rangers fans, especially the three of them diehard ones per se, they're gonna talk about the Rangers Bruins games that happened this past week, as they believed it was a crucial game and a pivotal one for the Rangers. So, boys, take it away.
Great win against the Boston Bruins, the top tier team right now in the division. It's a very tough division, no less. But one thing I like to say is that the Rangers play really tough against these top tier, you know, top dogs. And the Bruins are one of them. 6-2 without Artemi Panarin. We won't get into that too much. You know, the puck was really distributed. I'll first off say that, you know, they put a lot of pressure on Boston's defense as well as Tuukka Rask. Every time Rask kind of had trouble getting rebounds, the Rangers would make him pay. So it was good to see the Rangers play like that. They're competitive. They're hungry. And they're not that bad as people may think. And it sucks that, you know, coaching and everything is getting so much pressure. But in this kind of 56 game season, you don't know what to expect out of it. And for a young team, they're playing really well against the toughest competition, and that and beating up the Bruins 6-2 really showed it too.
Yeah, what I really loved from that game, and this is something that Noah mentioned during the break, I mean, everybody was getting involved. Strom had 3 points. He had a goal, which was beautifully assisted by Lafreniere. I mean, what a pass that was. Sam Rosen exploded from that. He's like, Lafreniere, what a pass! Strom, he's home! Like, oh, it was, oh, I got chills just thinking about it. But yeah, Brodzinski got his first goal as a Ranger. I mean, who is this guy? Like, exactly. Just comes in. Yeah, he's playing well. Blackwell got another goal. Beautifully assisted again by Fox that time. It was a power play goal. Blackwell has been playing outstanding for the Rangers as of lately. But yeah, he adds another to his total. And then who else scored? I think Kreider scored.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it caught like Rask off guard or something. Like it went off one of the Bruins in front.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might have been a deflection, but it was a nice one as well.
It's one of those things where you just – I'm looking at the stat line right now, and you just see under the goal category, one, you know, and just keeps going. And that's, like Sean, you were saying, that's really important. And also, I've noticed this over the last couple of games. They're shooting more. They're being less hesitant and just going for it and just shooting in. And especially like Zibanejad in the other game, shoots it on the power play, Kreider gets the rebound goal. Got to do that more.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I think, Noah, you and I talked about it to where we thought ultimately the Rangers would have to work on their defense, but Adam Fox has been such a big piece to that, to where the offense, they got to be a little bit more aggressive, get shots on net, and they looked really good against one of the top-tier goalies, too, in Rask. So they got to keep doing that. Just be aggressive. Don't play it cute on offense, you know. Set up a couple nice quick passes, and Lafreniere, man, you're right, Sean. That was a beauty of a pass. To get that first career NHL assist. So, yeah, if they play a little bit more aggressive, a little bit faster pace on offense and, you know, get the puck to where it needs to go. And I can see that this Rangers team looking pretty good.
Yeah. One thing I do want to talk about, too, is this team has had some issues with injuries. Filipedal, Kapokako had COVID. Keandre Miller had COVID, came back last game. You know, Jacob Trouba, and you know, there's been some issues with Trouba. I think sometimes defensively he's not as good, but Sean, what do you think needs to happen? Even with these injuries, where do you think this season's going to go? And what do you think needs to happen going forward?
You know, we just need to keep working on the defense. Obviously that's been a big problem for us. We let in a lot of goals. Our goalkeepers need to stay, or goalies, I don't know why I said goalkeepers, this isn't soccer. Our goalies need to be a little bit more consistent. I've been loving what I've been seeing from Shesterkin as of late. But the thing is, like, I feel like every time Shesterkin plays well in the net, the offense is nowhere to be found.
Yep.
He'll let in, like, two goals and we'll score maybe one.
Yeah,
I agree. It's kind of like DeGrom. He could be dominant on the mound, but then the offense, which is best in the league with best average, isn't doing anything for him that kind of day. So, yeah, I personally like Shesterkin a little bit more, but you're right. Whenever Georgiev's out there protecting the net, they look like they're in sync. And Georgiev was out there Friday night. So,
And for some reason, I just like at times defensively, the Rangers look really good. And then there's just those, and you're gonna have it with young teams, those defensive lapses that just they're just gonna happen, you know. I feel like people don't acknowledge it enough. This is the youngest team in the league, 25 years old average age. The next is like 26. Like they're gonna have issues. They're gonna have problems. Like to be shocked by it and to call for David Quinn's head, I just think is it's a little short sighted. So I just think that right now, like what you said, Sean, it's just moving forward, getting the experience in these games. And Dom, you were talking about it's a 56-game season. But what does this team have to lose? Just be aggressive. Offensively, I think there have been glimpses like Friday night was one of the best games I've seen them play. Needs to happen more. And defensively, they just need to be consistent. And people like Keandre Miller, Lindgren, and Adam Fox, who I think have been really solid this season, need to continue their play.
Continue it. And yeah, I'll say it too. Just keep up the consistency, you know, when it comes to good, mostly good plays on defense and hopefully on offense. Keep up the distribution, you know. You want to see a bunch of ones, whether it's in the goals or assist columns. You want to see more players on the plus side rather than the minus. So as long as they play tough, they get shots on goal, and even if they don't go in, you know, just put up a fight. That's all we're asking for. Even if it's not an OT loss that counts as a point, just, you know, make sure you get good experience out of this. So when you got guys that are coming into their sophomore years or a little bit more, they're ready to go. They understand how the fast-paced NHL works.
Yeah, because it's
sorry to cut you off there. No, it may have seemed like this team has, you know, taken a step back as they did last year because we made the playoffs. But then again, it's something that I also had to realize too. Like, we were like almost one of the dead last seeds that made the playoffs. Yeah. And that was mainly because of COVID too. So many more teams got to, you know, join in into the playoffs. And I mean, unfortunately, we didn't do well in those playoffs, but I mean, it led to us getting Lafreniere. So that's fine with me, honestly. But yeah, you also got to mention, Noah, like you said, we are still a young team. We've got so much to learn. I mean, we've lost Panarin. We've lost Kako. We've lost Miller. We've lost Hedl. We lost Trouba. The list goes.
Yeah, it's true. It's just we need to, as fans, I think, just need to stay calm. This team is going to figure it out. And I, you know, that's a great point. I didn't even point out Artemi Panarin not being here. Yeah. But I think the accusations, the allegations are already starting to fall through. For a little bit of a background, the allegations were that he beat up 10 years ago, beat up a girl in Russia. I think that's what, but it's a report from the Russian government, and he was very critical of Vladimir Putin.
Yes, so, and after the criticism for Putin. Yeah. I heard that it's known to do that, to where if you criticize Putin, you could get, you know, in trouble per se, to where something's going to go under your name. That's not good. And I'm just glad the Rangers are on his side, you know. Yeah. So Panarin should be back hopefully soon, and this whole situation gets fixed. But you know what I'm going to say too? This doesn't just go for the Bruins game. Panarin or not, this team is still fun to watch. You know, they're quick for being so young, and they're so exciting. Like Keandre Miller getting his first goal, Lafreniere doing what he has to do. It's just, they're a very fun team to watch, even with their struggles. So I have to say, seeing a bunch of names out there that we're not used to, it is interesting for this season.
Yeah. Because
they've stepped up too. Like I mentioned, like some of these guys, like, Anthony Boteto scored a goal in his first game that he appeared for with the Rangers. And then Brodzinski, he also got a goal. And Blackwell, I mean, he's just been the biggest head scratcher for me. Mm-hmm. He's been like our best goal scorer over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, he's somebody that when people start coming back, I think he has to be able to play.
I think so too.
He earned a spot. So, yeah. I think it was really – I'm having so much fun talking to other people about the Rangers. I just feel like it's so good to get this community thing going. So this was fun.
Maybe you guys should start like a Rangers podcast dedicated to all things New York Rangers.
I would love that. Hey, I really would love
that idea. That's a good idea, Anthony. Maybe Slam Diego comes to mind and then a Rangers one comes to mind.
That'd be a good one to do for sure. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of the Sports Fever with our Spotlight Player of the Week and as well as our Locks of the Day provided by this week, Googs. That's coming up on the Sports Fever only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com. Live from the Ride University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. So, in the final segment, we're going to do our Spotlight Player of the Week as well as our Lock of the Day. Spotlight player of this week is none other than New York Knicks forward Julius Randle. Julius Randle has been on a tear this entire season. He has got his first All-Star nod as a New York Knick. He is averaging a double-double, He's averaging, I believe, a better field goal percentage than Anthony Davis and a better three-point percentage than Damian Lillard. So it just shows how elite Julius Randle has been for the league and also for the New York Knicks organization, as the Knicks are hovering around 500. And this was kind of something that really people thought, okay, it could happen, but they're like, okay, don't get your hopes up. And now it's happening. And Sean, being the avid New York Knicks fan, I mean, you got to be loving this right now. You guys are right in the playoff picture, like that 6-7 seed right now, and it's looking good for you guys.
It's the first time I've been able to be happy watching basketball since I was in like sixth grade, maybe, like since back in the old days, like Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire. We haven't made the playoffs since we lost to the Pacers that one year. So, I mean, now that I can watch and like root on the Knicks and like they're actually winning, you know, like we actually have a chance to do something this year, I'm all for it.
Yeah. And also, you know, to talk about that, you know, because Randle has really just elevated his game. Obviously, we talked about before how he's become more of a team player, not a selfish player per se, like he was last year. You know, and it's shown. And, you know, obviously, we as a group have talked about he's going to be probably he's in the running for most improved player. But, you know, what do you think about him in the MVP conversation? Do you think he deserves to get some votes based on what he's doing and where the team is right now?
Honestly, no. I mean, he's good. He's not that good yet. I mean, we saw it because he didn't even make the starters as an all-star or for the all-star game, which I don't know, maybe a little questionable. But no, I think definitely the forwards that are in over him deserve it. It was like KD and then who was the other
Giannis.
One? I guess the bonus is in for him now for KD. But who was the other forward?
Giannis,
yeah. So, I mean, you can't beat out KD and Giannis or Giannis and Sabonis. But whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Randle, I mean, don't take anything away from him, though. This man has been definitely putting up some good numbers. Like I said, not really MVP numbers, especially because the Knicks are, like, barely, like, 500. But, you know, I would love to see it, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and, you know, Dom, we'll go to you this, and then, Sean, you could chime in as well. He has a three-year contract, and he's in the second year of the deal. Extension talks, do they extend him or do they trade him?
Look, man, I get it. He's going to have a lot of value or so, but I think his work ethic, he's a gym rat. He's the first guy in the gym. He's the last guy to come out. Honestly, I think I'd keep him as of right now, especially with what the Knicks are doing. The Heat are really struggling, so the Knicks are getting an even better chance of a little postseason action. And just the way he has helped out the Knicks as well. He's a veteran player, and I get it. They have Obi Toppin, who's been battling with a little bit of injuries and just hasn't been. He's got a lot of pressure from New York media. You know how it is, and it's unfair for that. But Randle's going to take up all those minutes. And honestly, I'd keep Randle as of right now because of the fact that he is a workhorse and he is proven to want to get better and better. And I think the Knicks actually really want that, and they like that. And he's been distributing the ball a lot. I know he has a career highs so far in points and rebounds, so like 23 and a half and 11 each. But his assists, too, he averages around 5 or 6 a game. So he likes to pass the rock. He's not afraid to do that. He's not a ball hog. So you're getting guys open looks and everything. And just keep building. I mean, Randle's young still. So yeah, I'm tired of this guy bouncing around with so much talent. I think he's got to finally find a home and, you know, build around him, build around quickly and more. So I say keep him, man.
Yeah, and then, Sean, you know, obviously, I want your take on this. You know, do you extend him, do you not? But also, like, what do you think Randle's impact has had on R.J. Barrett's development? Because, again, R.J. Barrett, second overall pick out of Duke, a lot of pressure on him. Him and Zion were teammates. Zion's, you know, really playing really well. He's living up to the hype people are saying right now. R.J. Barrett's still kind of not there yet, so... but how do you think him kind of being the leader and RJ being able to look up to him has kind of helped him? You know, have you seen development over game and gaming out with Barrett because of Randle being there?
Yeah, for sure. Third overall pick, by the way. But he's at second.
Oh, yeah, because John Morant, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, John Morant was second. Yep.
I wish we had the second overall pick. But, I mean, I'm totally fine with RJ. I was not the biggest fan of RJ Barrett last season. He was very inconsistent. He would put up like a good game and then like three bad games. So I was like, come on, what's up with this kid? But you know what? This year, I'm totally eating my words. I think he's been playing very well. He's turned into a very consistent player. I mean, he'll have like five good games and then like a half a bad one in the next one. Like, this man has not had a lot of bad games this season. And that's definitely something I think Julius Randle has a lot to do with, because I mean, Randle, he's kind of just like the lock of this team right now. He's just like, you know, keeping everyone in place. Like, he's playing well, so he's making everybody else around him want to play better. He's being a great leader for the team. I definitely think that Randle has had an impact on Barrett. And also, to get to what you were talking about before, I think the Knicks should absolutely keep Randle. I mean, trading him away for somebody would be just like starting all over again, which mm-hmm. is something you don't want to do, especially as a rebuilding team that's starting to get better. But yeah, I mean, Randle, like I said, he's been putting up great numbers. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't sign him.
Yeah, I agree. I think you guys should extend him. And I feel like you now have a guy that people are going to be attracted to. I feel like that was always something the Knicks were missing during that 7-8 year stretch when Melo was kind of and was leaving. Was like, you didn't have an attractive piece. You're like, oh, I want to play with the Knicks. Now you do. And if Barrett can elevate his game and get even better, just another added piece for you guys. It can make you guys, again, once again, probably maybe like up there with the Nets now as top dogs, and also make our rivalry even more competitive. You know, hopefully in the next year or two, as we still have Katie and Kyrie and Harden for the next 2.5 years. But yeah, so that was our spotlight on Knicks star Julius Randle. And it kind of segue into our lock of the day. Noah Googs has his lock of the day, and it has to do with the New York Knicks, who play tonight against the Pacers. So, Noah, what's the lock?
Right. Here we go. So, last night, me and my friend were talking about what we're going to do, because we like to bet, work together, stick together. I always say, when we're betting on a game, stick together. Don't get nervous. Stick together. Here's the bet. New York Knicks money line, okay? Spread was +1 for the Knicks. I went money line. I did a parlay. Went over under 218 points. I first want to know, I'll tell you in a second what it is. Sean, Dom, Anthony, what would you have gone 218 points Knicks Pacers game? Over or under 218 points? What would you have gone?
I would have went under.
Okay.
Knicks are a great defensive team. I mean,
I'd probably go under.
Under.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Your boy went under. Let's go. Let's go. Okay, good. So I did under 218 Knicks money line. I bet $10.44 because my account was uneven, and I get weird about having.
I totally agree with that. Oh, yeah.
You're right. So
and it annoys the crap out of me.
It's so annoying. So I went 10.44, and the payout would be $38.63.
So you get back, so you'd be rocking with 48, almost $50, because you get back to 10.
That's my lock. I really am confident in the Knicks. I think Sabonis has played great. But I like that the Knicks team defense, I think Thibodeau's done a great job. So I'm excited for the game tonight. 8:00 start. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, catch that game on MSG. So that's the lock. Knicks money line over. No, I'm sorry. Knicks money line under on the points.
218.
And yeah, so that's it. Those two, lock him in, and hopefully you come out a winner. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you want to follow more of us, you can. You can follow us on Instagram, @sports_fever. Our new Twitter handle is @thesportsfever1. And also, we're going to be releasing a YouTube channel, so be sure to look out for that. It's going to be titled The Sports Fever. Links to that will be in our Instagram and Twitter accounts. And if you want to give us an email, you can @thesportsfever@gmail.com. This is do it for this episode. Be sure to tune in next week for another awesome show. And have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.